I'm Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm Richard van den Berg.
This is Talk Central, episode 272, and it's the umpteenth time we've tried to record this episode. And we're very sad to say this is the grand send-off on what has been a great run.
Yep, it's the final podcast in the series where two South African tech geeks never went before.
On the podcast this week, Richard and I talk a bunch of nonsense.
Also this week, we talk about the news, look back on what was, and just generally reminisce.
It is a Wednesday afternoon, it's the middle of a lockdown, and it's time to talk everything technology and so much more.
How flexible is your device? Are you a person on the move and need your device to move with you? The Mesa Fundi goes wherever you go. It allows you to take notes, sketch your great ideas, sign documents and get work done wherever you are. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional. Visit mesa.co.za for more information.
When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
How's it for the last time? How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan? Coming to you from isolation here. Can you hear me? It's a bit windy up here.
Where are you? You look like you're in a brick something house.
Yeah, I literally took the lockdown seriously and I've just bricked myself in. I've got an internet connection, some screens in front of me. I'm good. Are you finding yourself?
The end, since it's the last episode of Talk Central. Very sad, but it is what it is. And Tech Central is not going away. We've got tons of stuff planned for YouTube and for podcasts. So subscribe to us on youtube.com/TechCentral, but this particular podcast has run its course. Now, Richard, where do we start? The last podcast we did was in September of 2019. When we started to encounter problems with our live streaming software, we literally, I think, tried to do this podcast half a dozen times, ended up with all sorts of weird errors and streaming issues, especially in the audio. We both got very busy and then we didn't get around to doing the podcast. And I think that in between time allowed us to have a rethink. You also got very busy. You got a new job. I'm flat to the wall here with other stuff and new ventures. I think all good things must eventually come to an end, right?
Yeah, look, it's sad. I'd like to leave it open-ended, as you can imagine. I think there's always a future for cool tech stuff, but yeah, unfortunately, I think timing is a bit of is always a critical factor, right? For especially sure. If you have to start cutting stuff when things get a bit, to the wire. You kind of make priorities, and certain things, unfortunately, just take too much time.
Absolutely. But it won't be the last time Richard comes on a Tech Central podcast, I'm sure. You're welcome to come on anytime you want, Richard.
Oh, thanks, Duncan.
So we've got split screen going here. We're using Zoom streaming software. There's a massive logo in the bottom right for those watching live today. We're also recording this podcast to disk. So we'll be uploading a version without that massive Zoom logo after the fact, if you didn't catch it live today. But welcome, everyone. I see Martin's joined us in the chat room all the way from Sydney, Australia. Thanks, Martin. It must be the middle of the night there right now. We're using Zoom today. Pretty good software. I've started using it since the lockdown. I've had a dozen meetings in it so far already, and it's pretty good, pretty powerful. And I love the fact that you can stream to both YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, that's a very nice feature. I mean, they're obviously scrambling now to get the house in order after all the issues, security issues they've had in the last year or so, I think it was. And I don't think they could foresee that they would become immensely popular again in a time when people just want to connect in a digital level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been quite nice to see, but yeah, they still, from what I believe, they still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And some of the security issues that have emerged in the last week or two are quite concerning. Mm. And they're going to have to handle it very carefully, especially if people using Zoom for sensitive corporate information. I saw Boris Johnson the other day was using Zoom to conduct a cabinet meeting. That's before he went into ICU on, I think it was on Monday night. And yeah, you don't want to be having your sensitive cabinet meetings routed through servers in China, which is what Zoom was apparently doing.
That was a big problem. And I mean, the fact that they now have halted all development of the app and their software and just focusing on security obviously means that they have a lot of work to do. But mm-hmm. I find it quite surprising, though. I mean, how long have they been around? Why has it taken so much time to get the basics in order? I mean, the meetings for the longest time were relatively open and anybody could jump on, right?
I think it's one of these classic startup situations, building new features, growing fast, and probably not paying enough attention to privacy and security aspects of your software product.
I don't really think, I agree with you, but that can't be an excuse. I mean, post-2015, really, you can't really use that as an excuse. Having said that, I'm surprised Skype hasn't become more of a talking point. I mean, Skype used to be the favorite video talk call conferencing software. Now, I know it's virtually nowhere. Nobody's using it between Google and Zoom. You know, that's only two people that I think people are using at the moment.
There are a couple of others which are more niche. There's Cisco WebEx and BlueJeans. BlueJeans is quite good. But yeah, Skype, this is a market that Skype should have cornered. But I think Microsoft has made some strategic missteps with Skype over the years. There was the big interface redesign a couple of years ago that people did not like. Mm. And I think there's confusion as well, because they've kind of, you know, there's Skype for Business, which used to be Microsoft Link. And they kind of put all the premium features into there, not into the consumer version of Skype. And I don't think they've kept up. And certainly going through the settings of Zoom, it's a lot more powerful than what Skype does these days. So it was Microsoft's market for the taking. They should have been the one that really succeeded in this coronavirus crisis. But they're not. They ceded the ground to startups like Zoom.
Yeah, I think they shouldn't have spent their time and effort on trying to launch a Twitch competitor with Mixer. I think one thing that all these companies now also realizing is that the need for more than just me to you communication. I mean, obviously groups is important. And then one step above that is, what can I do with this content that I'm shooting? Because it's not just about people doing meetings. It's now about people producing content, whether it's a quick broadcast of me showing exercise videos or whether I'm doing interviews. And I'm glad that we're finally seeing it, but it just feels like it just feels like this should have been done a while ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Rehat, we final episode of Talk Central. We're going to dispense with the usual features this week. So no quiz, no winner and loser of the week. Although there are a few candidates who have put up their hands, right? Especially in the last 24 hours, our Minister of Communications now on leave, special leave, suspended in other words, for 2 months and a month without pay. She'd be our obvious candidate for loser of the week if we were doing that feature this week.
Is that really punishment? I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about it now, but I don't think that's punishment.
No, let's talk about it.
She's surely not going to be suffering, or, you know, if that's the only punishment that is going to be handed out as a result of that breach or that, the breaking of the law like she did. I mean, it's a holiday really, right?
Yeah. I mean, she does lose a month's pay, but
does it really matter? I don't think at that level,
when you're earning 1.8 million or 2 million rand a month, or a year. But she, it's an interesting one. A lot of people have said she should have been fired outright. The president should have just fired her from the cabinet. Is that too harsh? I don't know. I mean, there was a New Zealand, I think there was a New Zealand cabinet minister who was fired for doing something similar, going to walk on a beach. And he was gone. You're fired out.
Yeah, look, I mean, in an ideal world, but we know that that will never happen. There's too many favors to be paid for, too many favors and too many friendships that's still very strong. Keeping this mess together.
Yeah. At least the president did something. He had the option not to do anything or just to reprimand her and and move on. But he has suspended her for 2 months. Jackson Mutembo is now going to be the acting Minister of Communications for that period. And she's been told she has to apologize publicly.
Have you seen the video that she's put out? It's gone out on Twitter already.
No, I haven't.
She's not even looking to the camera. She's reading off a piece of paper.
Oh, really? That is that on really her Twitter handle?
I would actually suggest you should probably watch it quickly. And,
well, let me see if I can get it on the screen here. I'm going to figure out which buttons to press. Optimize screen sharing for video clip. No, I don't think that's necessary. Share. Right.
Hide your tabs. There we go.
Now it's twitter.com. Whoopsie. Twitter.com/StellaRated, right?
No idea. Well, I don't know if it went out on her account or if it... Let me just check where I saw it. I think it was on the government account, wasn't it?
Having a look here. No, she hasn't posted anything, so she hasn't put it out through her own Twitter handle.
I think it was on the government account.
Let's have a look. I don't see anything specific here. But if you find it, I think you can screen share as well from your side, Rehat. So let me stop that share and come back to this. But yeah, it's an interesting one. The fact that he's moved against her and publicly censured her and docked her pay and put her on special leave for 2 months probably is sufficient to caution other members of cabinet and other people in government from attempting something similar.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I actually saw a comment on Twitter too. I mean, again, we're speculating here, but if this is the one that we saw, how many other people are actually doing this? I mean, we know there is civilian people of the civilian population who is going around seeing their boyfriend and girlfriend, right? I mean, the guy's already been arrested like that.
Yeah.
If you're in a position of power and financial power, moving around, you know, in a lush suburb from one place to another isn't the most difficult thing to do. And if you're a minister, nobody's going to question you. If they're going to question you, you're just going to say, I'm on official business, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I doubt that it'll actually impact anybody.
Okay, I found the her apology. So let's put this on the screen.
Fellow South Africans, I would like to convey an apology to President Cyril Ramaphosa, the National Command Center, the South African society at large, for breaching lockdown rules put in place to cap the spread of COVID-19. I met with the President yesterday after a photo was circulated on social media showing myself at the home of Mr. Mduduzi Manana during the lockdown and social distancing period. I regret the incident and I'm deeply sorry for my actions. I hope the President and you South Africans will find it in your hearts to forgive me. The President has put me on special leave. I undertake to abide by the conditions of the leave. I wish to use this opportunity to reiterate the President's call for all of us to observe the lockdown rules. They are a necessary intervention to cap the spread of a virus that has devastated many nations. I thank you.
Oh, she doesn't look happy, does she? The audio wasn't going through your side, was it, Rehat?
I couldn't hear it, but yeah. Okay. I don't know if it is going out. But if it didn't go out, I mean, it's well worth kind of checking out that link. But yeah, she doesn't want to be there. That's not a sincere apology. She doesn't really care.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, apparently the audio wasn't going out on YouTube. She really did not look happy about giving that apology, but go have a look at it on Twitter. I'll try and insert it into the audio version of the podcast after the fact. Rehat, how are you surviving the lockdown? I know you're a big craft beer fan. Did you manage to stock up before all the bottle stores and restaurants closed?
Yeah, look, an astute observer like myself, when talk started happening of, you know, everybody closing down at 6 p.m., bottle stores having to close early, I mean, you could kind of see what was going to happen. A few days before the lockdown was announced, I think, I went out and just bought a few. Because in any case, you know that craft beer supplies would be hindered in such a case. Yeah, so I did stock up with a few of my favorite beers. Mm-hmm. They are running out at a pace, but the question is, when will one be able to replenish it? And that's kind of, that's probably the only worrying factor. But other than that, I'm sorted. Yeah. I'm surviving. Okay.
So if you were to tilt your camera up slightly to the top of that wall, we'd see 99 bottles of beer on the wall.
just above the, you can't quite see it.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that. But generally, how's the lockdown going for you? Are you surviving that end?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's quite interesting. I mean, as I'm pretty much a typical geek in the sense that I've spent most of my life in front of my computer in isolation, right? So from that point of view, I'm not yearning for social interaction necessarily as much as what I just yearning to leave the scenery, change of scenery, you know, going out, seeing different things. And obviously, you know, interacting with the real people is also missed. But other than that, you know how it goes. You work, you focus, you play games. As long as the internet's working, it's really not a problem and the power.
Yeah.
How's yours been going?
Yeah, pretty much the same as long as you're connected to high speed internet, just carry on. You know, I'm actually finding it more productive because previously I would spend hours every week in the traffic going to meet people. And now I just meet on Zoom.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, from a work, I'm working with a team and I find it a lot more productive because you have your daily meeting like we do. And from there you go off and you do a thing, right? There's no real hindrance. I mean, it's always been something I've appreciated working from home or working for myself. So from that point of view, you know, it's absolutely fantastic to have that opportunity or just to have the bubble for 21 days, which is great.
Yeah. And productivity goes up. We're lucky because we work in the internet industry. Everything we do is online and computer based. You know, the rest of the economy.
Look, I mean, I bless my cotton socks every day that I'm in a position where I can actually work remotely and I have all the tech around me to do so.
But
a lot of people don't have that. And I really hope that after this lockdown, I really hope after 21 days that it'll obviously be continued, I'm sure, but that there's some of the restrictions are lifted slightly to enable some more of the industry to actually function.
Yeah.
You can still do it in isolation and let industry do their thing. We just need to, we'll talk about it later, but we just need to get stuff like the deliveries sorted out more efficiently. Mm. Remember, the guys that can't deliver fast food potentially could now deliver groceries and that kind of thing. So
yeah, and a few of them are doing it. I mean, I see that Bottles app, which delivered alcohol, has repurposed itself. It's now working with Pick and Pay to do grocery deliveries. I see Takealot has repurposed its website and it's not doing general merchandise, but it is delivering essentials allowed under the lockdown regulations. Yeah. So I think a lot of, and Uber Eats is delivering groceries as well. I think I saw Mr. Delivery announced that it's also repurposed itself. So there's a lot of,
it's a steep learning curve for these guys too. I mean, you'd think it would be a pretty smooth upscale, but from what I've seen, you know, it's not been smooth sailing. Obviously granted that there was a stagnant period where Uber Eats didn't function at all and Mr. Delivery, they had to sort this stuff out. Judging by the waiting times that we're seeing, you know, there's definitely some learning still to be done, especially if you want to get to the point where, as in the States, you have same day, 1 hour delivery where it's actually, not missing products or you know, silly substitutions, but the actual things that you order. But you know, looking at the positive side of this, I mean, I think we're going to see some incredible stuff coming from this, allowing us to really use the internet for what it's built for.
Absolutely.
Really get South Africa to a point where, well, we've got really cool digital services all of a sudden. I mean, we've had some nice services and our online shopping has been fine, but we're now breaching that last mile delivery aspect, which is really important.
Yeah. Checkers launched a 60-minute grocery delivery service, but it's only available in selected suburbs, Bryanston, Sandton, and I think one or two areas in Cape Town. Called, what's it called? 360 or 630?
60 or something. 60 for 60 or something.
It's got a strange name.
It's a great idea. I mean, I love that. Yeah. If my local, and again, if your local neighborhood shopping center, whichever one that may be, offers this, you know, it'll definitely increase that community aspect too, from me buying from my local guy rather than trying to buy from a Woolworths 2-5 km down the road, you know?
Checkers 360, I think they should have expanded it more quickly. I guess they didn't know this lockdown was coming. They were still in pilot, but I look forward to them rolling that out nationwide. I'm just outside the coverage area here in Joburg for that service, which is annoying.
But look, I think it is probably interesting. We should probably mention too that, you know, criticizing it for not moving quick enough in terms of getting the scale of this up and running. But we are, in all fairness, a society where we do go to the shop on the way from one place. I mean, we're a car driving society, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder if this is going to continue after the fact, where people get used to this type of, I mean, I don't often order my groceries like that, but the next shop I'm going to do now, I'm definitely going to try one of these services, obviously for curiosity, to see how it works, but also just, I don't want to go out actually. And I don't want to necessarily go to the shops.
Yeah.
Question is, are people going to actually keep on using the service? Because it's still a premium, right? You're still paying a little bit more for everything, or paying a premium on a delivery.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. Although I don't think there's any premium on the Checkers app during the beta phase. It's actually in-store prices and no delivery fee. But I don't know if that's workable in the longer term. Mm. Let's have a look what's happening in the chat room. Martin says, Microsoft touched Skype, so it died. Ouch. He also says, WebEx really bad. Guy who worked on WebEx started Zoom after leaving. That's true. Guy called Eric Wan, Chinese WebEx guy.
And those things also, I mean, they're fine for big corporates, I guess. But most people like us, you know, when we set up a call, it's those things are too tricky to implement, you know. With Zoom and even Google Hangouts to an extent, you know, it's very easy to set it up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What else have we got in the comments? No audio. Sorry about that, guys. This is the first time we are streaming live, streaming via Zoom to YouTube. So I wasn't aware that going to screen share wouldn't play the audio off the web browser. Martin wants to know, what does Rechard do for a job? Rechard, are you able to answer that on air?
Oh, I don't know if people are ready to hear this. Well, I'm a digital creative, so video content, photography, design, a lot of graphic design these days. But actually, I'm residing at Tencent Africa, so I help them on PUBG Mobile. So all the cool online gaming stuff we do, that's kind of my forte.
You have landed the best job because you love PUBG. You get
Look, the fact that I was a PUBG fan for long before that is cherry on top for me. But yes, I'm very, very fortunate to be able to work for them, especially at a time now when everybody is actually playing more games on their mobile phone.
Yeah.
So
it's you must have seen a big Tencent must have seen a big jump in usage or gameplay time.
There's definitely massive growth happening. Yeah, for sure. I mean, looking at the numbers that we're seeing, people are really, I mean, gaming across the board is going up, definitely, but PUBG Mobile, our game, is seeing a massive growth. And I think rightfully so. It's a fantastic game. I play it every day. And I have been playing it every day for many years.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about gaming, because a lot of people are doing it at the moment, that and watching television, streaming services. Showmax said today that they've seen a 100% growth, over 100% growth in plays of videos, so TV series, movies, etc., and an over 50% increase in unique daily users on the website. So, and I presume that would translate to Netflix and Amazon and all the others.
Also, the fact that they're showing news now, I love. Absolutely love that they've got the news channels on there. Showmax in particular, they added it.
Yeah, that's great. Also, they're also free to DSTV Now customers, or even people who don't subscribe to DSTV can get them through the DSTV app, which is quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I think it's been great time for any of these online entertainment services, because people are now captivated, locked in. Again, your position on where your data stands is always going to be the determining factor, right? We always have the divide between people that can consume a lot of data and those that will be using it sparingly. But the fact that we actually have all of these services is making this lockdown much easier. Imagine this happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, before the prevalence of all these beautiful things that we have, these online entertainment systems.
Yeah. Would have been much more difficult.
Oh, yeah, it would have been. I mean, it would have been pirate city all over, right? I think the biggest lawbreakers would have been people sharing hard drives with each other for series. But yeah, I think it's a great time for gaming. People also now realizing that gaming on your mobile phone is more than just like silly games where you're just trying to match things or, you know. Those can be fun, but like we're talking about first-person shooters or real tactical games. I mean, obviously, Call of Duty is another one that moved to mobile device, and that's also got quite a bit of a following because people from a PC-based gaming community, it's quite easy to jump. I'm not saying PC gamers will necessarily jump to mobile, but you'd be surprised at how nice the transition is if you can play anywhere.
Absolutely. So apart from PUBG, what have you been playing during the lockdown?
Yeah, look, I mean, it has been a lot of PUBG. But I've gone back into Scum for a bit. Scum is I remember I spoke about this a few times
on the
podcast many years ago. Yeah. Because it's kind of a slower paced game. I mean, it's improved now with a lot of additions. I mean, there's a lot more to it. So it's kind of a big open world first person shooter, but where you collect and build stuff. It's kind of like Rust in that way. But unlike most other games where if you die, you lose all your stuff. So it's the risk is a bit bigger there, you know. So, I mean, unless you go back to your body and you're able to salvage stuff unless you've been looted. So, that's been quite a fun game. What else have I been playing? Oh, yes, I wasn't sure if we were going to do a pick, but I was going to do this for a pick if we were. Let me just quickly switch it on. I want to show you this thing I bought. This has been my kind of evening lying in bed before I go to sleep playing a few games. I don't know, why is it not? So this is a handheld. Yeah, this is a handheld. I think it's just like a knockoff Supreme thing, but it's got, you remember those old Nintendo 64 games?
I do, like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. I mean, let me just start one here. So that's my favorite, Mario Brothers. But I mean, it's cool. A cool little thing. You can output it to
like,
your TV.
It's like those are called Nintendo 64s, those little handheld things.
Oh, the Game Boys. The Game Boys, yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't quite look like it, but
I had one of those, and I had Donkey. It was a Donkey Kong one. They were actually
Donkey Kong is on there. All those old classic games that you remember playing on those old cartridge games.
Yeah,
remember those family computer games? We didn't actually have the Nintendo 64 yet. We had the Chinese knockoff, the family computer one.
Okay.
I don't remember the big cartridge with the two controllers you plug in the side and the cartridge that pops in and out.
I don't remember that at all. Sure.
You must let me show you a photograph. I think it's well worth. I'll send you a photograph, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners would know exactly what I'm talking about. Most of us grew up with that.
You can screen share from your side as well if you want to get something up on the web.
Get it for long.
Sure. So I've been playing a game called Disco Elysium. I don't know if you've heard of this one.
No,
it's very, very good. If you go onto Metacritic and some of the review sites, it's got like 9 or 10 out of 10. It's a very dark sort of role-playing adventure game where you play a washed-up detective who's lost his memory. I'm not describing it very well, but it's beautifully drawn with fantastic dialogue. It's very slow, a lot of reading and listening and talking to the different characters in the game and learning about what's going on in the setting, but it's brilliantly done. It's brilliantly done, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it. It won all sorts of awards.
It's a Steam game on Steam.
It's on Steam, yeah. It's called Disco Elysium, and it's not that expensive. It's a strange name, D-I-S-C-O, and then Elysium, E-L-Y-S-I-U-M. And it's not expensive. Last time I looked, I think it was about $130. Fantastic game. In the little time I've actually managed to find during this lockdown to play video games, I've been going to Disco Elysium.
Nice. I must say, I'm actually disappointed in myself. I thought I would be playing a lot more, but I think the fact that we're all locked down, it's just making things a little bit more busy within business, right? I mean,
crazy. I mean, I'm actually busier now than I've been previously. It's nuts. I just want to see if I can get a. There we go. Let me just kill the audio there. So if I share the screen now, you'll just get a quick screenshot of the. I share the right screen. There we go. Of Disco Elysium. Just skip forward a bit. Beautifully designed. This looks like a Japanese version. but you get an idea of what the game looks like.
It is amazing. Yeah.
Really cool. Highly recommended if you haven't played it yet. Go check out the reviews if you don't.
It looks like a slow pacing game.
It's very slow.
Especially if you translate each of those characters, right?
Yeah, indeed. You have to learn Japanese before you can play.
It looks beautiful. It looks really beautiful.
Yeah, very, very well done. Let me just skip forward and show a couple of other scenes here. Seems to be buffering now. There we go. Let me just hit play there. The audio is not going out. In fact, is the audio going out, chaps, in the...
No, I'm not hearing it.
You're not hearing it. Okay, it's not going
out. Isn't there a setting on screen sharing where you enable audio?
There might be, but let me not fiddle with that now because I'm sure there's nothing more boring than watching me trying to figure out how software works. And in terms of streaming content, you seen any good new shows lately?
So I have been streaming. What have I been streaming? I've been watching across all of the, because to my amazement, I realized that I've actually signed up for Amazon Prime. So I've been a subscriber since like last year. Okay. And I actually didn't even realize that. But I was watching Picard. I really, really enjoyed Picard. That. Yeah. That was, I wasn't so keen on it initially when like you telling me about it and you told me when it was launching. We had that conversation last year, right?
I got 4 episodes in and I haven't watched any more because I thought it was too slow.
Oh, it's good. No, and that's one of the things I like about it. I mean, it's not Star Trek in the traditional sense, right? This is a story about, it's kind of the story around the character. And then it kind of gives you some, it kind of has these tie-ins with some of the other seasons of the actual TV show. Mm-hmm. But you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know what kind of thing you're after, but I think give it another shot. Maybe watch another
episode. I'll carry on. Yeah, I'll give it another chance. I have heard subsequently that it picks up pace in the second half of the season.
Yeah. It's memorable. It's a good. Okay. And okay. I'm not really a big Trekkie, so. Yeah. That also did put me back onto The Orville, which there was another season that I haven't watched.
Oh, my word, is another season.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, there was one that I haven't seen.
Okay. I think I've seen 3 seasons.
Yeah, I didn't watch the third one. So I watched catched up to the third one.
The Orville is brilliant.
That was fantastic. I mean, yeah. And I'm a big fan of Family Guy, too. So, I mean, I often have Family Guy running in the background when I'm cooking food or whatever. That would be the thing that I put on. Yes, yeah. I laugh my butt off every time. Yeah. So
the Orville, I just love it. The humor in the Orville just appeals to me. There was one
episode. Seth MacFarlane is a genius. Yeah,
he's a genius, absolutely.
And also his sense of humor too. The way, I don't know, what he finds funny and the cult, pop culture references he pops in there. It's great. It's great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. There was one episode. I forget what the gag was, but it was so funny. I had to pause it and I had tears streaming down my cheeks. It was so funny. Which I hardly ever do any. But The Orville, if you haven't seen a fantastic show. I see Martin in the chat room says, awesome show on Amazon is Tales from the Loop, 90s nostalgia sci-fi TV series. Have you seen that one?
No, Tales from the Loop on Amazon.
On Amazon. Yeah, I haven't seen it either. We'll have to rectify that, Martin.
Gonna have to go bookmark that now, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? I've been watching during the day that has been quite funny and ironically comforting is The Office, the American version. I've been rewatching just a few of the episodes, just put it on in the background, and it's funny.
It was a great show as well.
Really funny.
It was a great show.
It was good. Yeah. A lot of things I missed, you know, that I didn't see in the initial one, especially if you don't focus on just having it on in the background.
Mm.
So The Office was absolutely nice comforter.
I almost always dislike the American remakes of British TV shows, but The Office was the one exception that I've come across where the American version was actually, in my view, better than the British version.
Yeah, I mean, the cringe level in some episodes is fantastic, and the humor in others is it's insane.
Yeah, brilliant. I haven't had much chance to watch TV during this lockdown, but I am watching season 3 of Ozark on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen Ozark yet.
I have seen the first season. That was something, I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't memorable. I couldn't remember much of it. So I'm hesitant to get back to it. But you enjoy it.
I loved season 1. Season 2 took a little bit of a dip, but it's worth getting through because season 3 is on a Breaking Bad level of brilliance.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Very good. Very, very good.
So it's got a good cast. I mean, what's the main character?
I forget the name of the actor. But he also directs it.
Fantastic, fantastic actor.
Yeah, in fact, all the actors in there are very good. His wife there's a blonde woman who's been in all the seasons who lives in the trailer park, and she now manages the casino in season 3. I'm also not sure what her name is, but she's also a fantastic actress. They've lifted their game. They've lifted their game massively in season 3.
There's a lot of stuff around. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I remember back in the day when we was Lost, there was one show that everybody watched, Lost.
Yes.
It was just that. And then I can't remember what was after that, Prison Break or something. It was one or two of those, like everybody watched them. And now there is, like I was scrolling through all the services to try and find stuff to watch. And there's so many things I don't know. And then every now and then somebody would recommend something. You recognize the little thumbnail that they've got. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out there. It's a crazy time to be alive, Duncan.
Yeah. Yeah, we all used to watch the same stuff because it was linear television.
Yeah, true, that too.
Now we don't watch on demand, so everyone's watching something else.
But the sheer capacity of shows, I mean, back in the day, before series started, right? There were movies and then a few series. Mm. But the number of really good series out there. The Marvelous Miss Maisel is another one that I watch off and on. It's about a female comedian in like the 50s or 60s, I think 50s. But it's a wonderful show. I mean, it's also funny, but it's a drama, a comedy drama.
I've heard good things about it as well. Amazon is lifting its game slowly but surely. It was kind of a poor cousin to Netflix and Showmax, but it's getting better.
And they've also got Whose Line Is It Anyway now? I don't know if you remember that show.
I do.
Hilarious. Not the old ones, from what I could see. It was only the newer ones with different. With Drew Carey as the host.
Okay. Okay, I'm just going to dive in there. I've got a subscription. I never fire it up though. I kind of default to Netflix with a little bit of Showmax.
Mm, yeah, I used to be like that, but Amazon, their movies are not so strong. Like they have a lot of Bollywood movies, but the series, they've got a lot of good series on there.
There's not a lot of great movies anymore. The TV shows are actually better because I think that's where all the investment is going. I look at the Stack Unicorn New Metro listings from time to time, and I think, well, actually, I don't want to watch any of that. I'd rather watch Netflix.
And what a tough time they're going through now, right? I mean, and I think they're going to be hurt after this too, because Friday Night Out now in a public place, it's going to become a different thing, right? You're not going to be one necessarily born to be in crowded spaces. So At Home is going to win again. And we're probably going to see I know in the US, some movies that were supposed to be launching just launched straight to streaming services.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the top A movies. I'm talking about just some of the run-of-the-mill movies. I hope we see more of that.
No, you're right. I think even once the lockdown is fully lifted, it's going to change people's behavior, and cinema is going to be hit hard. I do feel sorry for people in the conferencing business too, because people aren't going to go to conferences like they used to.
Yeah, I mean, the budget spent on that, so you're looking at the event companies too, is hurting. The entertainment side, the speakers. It's a big industry to have impact. And you're right, you're rightfully saying that people are realizing how easy it is just to... I mean, if musicians can do concerts from their house, I mean, obviously you don't always want to experience music like that, but with a conference, you don't want to necessarily feel the bass of the speaker talking, right? You don't necessarily want to feel the vibe of that. You just want the information.
Yes.
Why can't I sit in my most comfortable chair at home with a coffee in hand, as opposed to driving through? Yeah, I mean, time wasted and
huge growth in. There's going to be huge growth in webinars and that sort of thing. I must say, we were looking at it last year. Tech Central was looking at getting into the conferencing side of things, and we were potentially going to do one this year. And I am so glad we didn't.
Yeah, look, anything that was planned now, we're going to be hurting for a long time as a result of this. I think the upside is things are changing, and we're just going to adapt like South Africans always do, and we'll just, make innovation happen for us. But... I'm going to miss some of the old stuff, right? I think I'm going to miss some of those things. We won't know what they are until we go like, oh man, remember when we.
Absolutely. Just going back to the comments, Martin says we have a streaming service in Australia called Stan, STAN, great selection of content. Who owns that, Martin? Is it owned by one of the telcos in Australia? And then he says 1917 was a fantastic movie, all shot in one take, best movie in a long time without special effects overkill. I agree. 1917 was fantastic. Have you seen it?
No, I wanted to go see it. I wanted to actually go see it at the cinema because that's one of those movies. I think I saw a lot of the behind the scenes because I was fascinated by the way that they shot it. Obviously it's amazing how they stitched together seamless parts to make, to make it feel like you have this one shot take. And I mean they did do a lot of this, all of the action scenes,
it's like one whole take because it's brilliantly shot because the camera is just pulling out all the time or going in and it's shot as if the whole movie is one take. Absolutely stunning filmmaking.
I mean, the complexities around doing that, especially if you're changing angles and focusing on different things, you take cuts for granted as a video editor, so that's why I'm keen to see the entire thing. So it's on my list.
I agree, Martin. One of the best movies in years. And I wish I'd seen it at IMAX because that would have been special effects. I mean, I would have loved to see that on a massive screen.
Oh, do you remember IMAX, Duncan? Back in the day.
They're still around. They're not open right now, but they're still around.
You might have some open seats next to you if you go, though.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll just wear a mask. Some great television out there, and I'm hoping to catch up on some more of it. I'm going to fire up Amazon tonight and have a look at what's on there. But I'm going to try out that show. What is it called again, Richard?
Which one was I talking about?
I don't know.
Which one was that? We spoke about Picard, The Office.
Picard. I was thinking Picard.
Oh, you want to go back to Picard? Yes.
Yes. I have been watching that.
Now that I'm looking through the thumbnails here, the other one I was interested in watching, and I watched one episode, and it looked quite interesting, is The Man in the High Castle. And you may have told me about this, yeah.
Yes, I've seen that. Very good. It's the premise.
I like the first episode, so I'm going to get back to it. But it's not. I like lighthearted watching most of the time. That's one of those things I want to sit in front of my TV at night, you know, and watch this thing. It's not something I'm going to have on in the background. So
yeah. No, it's definitely not lighthearted watching. It's the proposition the idea behind the story is what would have happened if the Nazis had won the Second World War.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting. I mean, even just seeing the first season, how they adapt the thinking, where you have some of the technologies, but you have this very strict Nazi regime, right, that oversees anything.
Yeah. So what else should we talk about? I'm getting very excited about Flight Simulator, which I think I've spoken about last year several times already. They've put out some more.
Again with the Flight Simulator talk, Duncan.
I'm gonna sorry, I'm a real nerd about Flight Simulator.
No, please do. It's a fantastic, it is going to be one of the best titles, I think, of the decade, if you look at from a technical point of view, what they managed to achieve with that.
Yeah.
And just what it is for its genre. I think it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, I want to see if I can get one of the latest videos up on the screen, because it really is mind-blowing. It should be released by the end of this year. I'm hoping the coronavirus development doesn't halt or delay it. But it is the first game that's ever going to be released in which it's highly likely that your house will be featured in it.
Everybody's going to be part of this one.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not sure what the legalities are in firing up a YouTube video on another YouTube video.
Let's just do it for a few seconds. Don't do it too long, otherwise they'll probably claim it.
Yeah, if the
you don't run ads on your channel, do you?
No. If the live stream suddenly stops, guys, you know what happened.
I'd like to think this is fair use, right? We're commenting on the video, but I don't know.
YouTube these guys.
Very strange.
Yeah. Well, let me find. Oh, this one was fantastic. This is a live stream. Let me just kill the audio so it's not deafening me. And let me see if I can make that full screen. So I should hit this button, and I should do that, and I should hit that, and it should be showing. Is it showing in full screen, Rahat?
Yes.
Fantastic. So let's just cut forward. No, the audio is not working. But
Your video is muted there. Do you know that?
I do. Oh, okay. It's not working now.
No, it's not working still.
So this is the demonstration video for multiplayer, which looks absolutely brilliant. Now you can play against anyone in the world and fly.
What do you mean? Do you fly against them, or how do you play?
Fly with them. Yeah, it's not so much against them. It's not a combat flight sim, but you can't shoot them down. But I love this sort of thing. I find it incredibly relaxing. So you take off from OR Tambo, fly down to King Shaka in Durban, get a couple of mates, you fly down in Cessnas together and land.
Oh wow, nice.
And you can talk to each other in real time, and you can take a detour over the Drakensberg, whatever you want to do. It's fantastic. I find it incredibly relaxing. I'm not a pilot in real life, and my piloting skills are pretty useless in Flight Simulator itself. But I enjoy it thoroughly. And I'm going to get some of those. What are those devices made by Logitech? They've got a subsidiary called Cytec, I think.
Yeah, the Cytec. Yeah, they bought Cytec a few years ago, a bunch of years ago.
They make something called the X56 Rhino, which is, I don't think there's one on that desk there. Let me just go back and have a look. No, that's just a joystick. Fantastic devices. So I'm going to invest in those, assuming the Rand hasn't gone to 30 Rand to the dollar by the end of the year. Look at that. That's beautiful. Look at that flying information over San Francisco. And then they've got a flying, let me just skip forward a bit, because they've got a brilliant section here at the end where they're flying Boeings in formation. I think it's this here. There we go. Look at that. I think it's the A320.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's the A320, I think, not a Boeing. Flight Sim nerds are going to have such fun with this game. Here we go. Look at this. Yeah, it's the Airbus A320.
Nice.
Flying in formation.
So apart from the visual aspect, which is vastly improved, and I'm sure the in-game mechanics of piloting these aircraft is also massively improved, but what else is coming to the game that's going to make a person go, freaking hell, I need to get this?
I think we haven't seen the final game yet, but they are working at developing it in conjunction with pilots. I think that it's going to be pretty damn accurate. They've got right down to the level of I lost my train of thought because I was trying to read the comments.
I mean, in terms of they're obviously going to have more planes and stuff there as they would normally with Itchback. But I mean, would there be anything else? Like, is it still going to be straight up just flying with people, flying more aircraft?
It's flying, yeah. There'll obviously be a whole bunch of aircraft in the base pack that you get with the game. I believe the Airbus A380 is going to be in there. So I look forward to trying that out. Certainly it's been in the demo videos. You've seen it in the distance, so we haven't seen one actually from the cockpit as far as I can recall. But they're also opening up the game to third-party developers to develop airports, to the usual stuff like scenery packs and aircraft developers. So like they've done in previous versions of Flight Simulator. Mm. And those will be for sale, or I think mostly for sale as separate add-ons, which is cool. It allows the community to continue to develop the game like they did with FXX.
Sure.
Which was released about 15 years ago now, I think.
And how big is the game going to be? Like 700 gigabytes or something silly?
Rehard, are you sitting down? I can see you sitting down. 2 petabytes.
Holy cannoli, that's crazy.
That's 2,000 terabytes.
But you don't install everything on your machine, right? It's going to be cloud. Some of it's going to run off the cloud.
Most of it will run off the cloud. It's going to be served from the Microsoft Azure data centers. But I don't know how big the base part component of the game is you're going to install on your PC, but they have said you're going to be able to download scenery for offline flying or to use less bandwidth. So
yeah, look, you get games up to 120, 30 gigabytes these days with all the packs. So yeah, this is probably going to be a 200-300 gigabyte game. Probably with a 1 terabyte minimum requirement, for the subfiles. I don't know.
Yeah. And you probably want to put that on an SSD. And I'd imagine you'd probably want at least 32 gigabytes of RAM and a very high-end graphics card.
Yeah. And then you want to update your chassis, maybe get a new water cooling system. Sky's the limit, right?
Absolutely. You want a flight yoke. You want to... I might turn my home office into a flight simulation center and... find somewhere else to work.
Now just get a fold-out tray so you can put your laptop on and work. So you can work in the cockpit.
In the cockpit, exactly. Some of the rigs you see on YouTube of people who've designed for X-Plane, which is the flight simulator competitor, are absolutely amazing. Guys have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars on gear for X-Plane. Complete flight cockpit systems with, I don't know what they've put in there, but it's...
With all the buttons. I've seen a few ones too.
I've seen guys put in 60-inch TVs connected to a high-end PC so that they're completely immersed in the simulator.
Sure.
And I can be sure all of those guys are going to be investing in Flight Simulator when it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a bit of a niche market, but it's a very lucrative niche market, I think.
Yeah, the game won't be cheap. The game won't be cheap. I'm expecting it probably about $100, $150, maybe even $200.
Or even subscription based, do you think?
Possibly for some components of it.
Yeah.
They haven't released any details about pricing yet.
Because I'm sure for the online component, it's not going to be a free out of the box. Yeah, you go play online.
Yeah. What I like about it is it's got real world weather. Others have offered that in the past, but it hasn't looked that great. So they're promising real-world weather, real-world traffic. So if you go to Lanseria Airport in your little Cessna and you're parking off there, and Mango or Kalula are in real life are sitting on that runway as well, waiting to take off and do take off, you'll see it in the game.
That's cool. That is so cool. That is, if the real traffic thing is working well and it's accurate, I mean... I would get the game just so I can get to a chopper, go see what the traffic is before I drive out. I mean, is that feasible?
No, I don't think it's going to have real-time highway traffic. Or maybe they will. I don't know.
Makes sense.
They might. They might. The data's so there.
Do you see somebody like Aki going up in a virtual chopper to give live traffic reports?
That would be funny, wouldn't it? It's feasible to do it because that Microsoft Bing has the traffic data in their map service. Just pull it in where you can see red normally on the Bing map. You just put extra traffic in on the simulator.
Yeah.
Could work.
It's an interesting use case. I mean, to be able to see stuff like that would be amazing. I mean, real weather too, to be able to fly from here to Durban, like you said, real weather, real traffic conditions, potentially. I mean, that would also mean you'll have the real chatter, right? So with whoever's the radio control person in the game, because they'll be managing other planes too, which will be interesting.
That'll be an AI, obviously.
But a lot of games I've seen, a lot of videos I've seen, you can actually, there is a person that can play as air traffic control.
Oh, right. I haven't thought of that. Maybe it's possible. That'd be quite cool.
I don't know if it was Flight Simulator, now that I think about it. Maybe have been...
Could have been another.
There's a lot of funny videos on YouTube about guys being, well, there was one guy in particular who's a flight traffic controller.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's got no, maybe it's just a viewing thing. Maybe he doesn't actually do anything. Maybe he just views from the air traffic controller.
You can get an air traffic control tower view in most of these flight simulators.
Maybe he was just playing off of that.
But that's a good idea, Rafa. That's a good idea. Maybe I should send an email to the developers saying, allow someone to play that role.
I really hope they have thought of that already, let's be honest.
Yeah. Presumably, though, when there's a real-time traffic and you're flying Joburg to Durban and you've got the Mango Airlines flight next to you, you can listen to the air traffic between that Mango flight and...
That would be amazing, because that stuff is available publicly, isn't it? So you can tune into those things.
I don't think they'd be able to do that in real time.
But there's apps you can buy that allows you to tune into some radio chat. I don't know if it's commercial airlines, but
maybe. I think that may be a bit technically complex to do. I would expect it to be artificial intelligence doing that.
Look, I mean, you've only got so many calls to make, right? So I think programming that in so that you can call another plane that's an AI plane based on a real route that might be flown. Then you can call the plane and ask some things, and you could potentially have a scripted AI talk back to you. That would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. So I could talk about Flight Simulator all day, but don't want to bore our long-term listeners here.
Should we talk about Farm Simulator?
Farm Simulator, all right.
No, I don't have anything to say. I'm just
been planting your millies there.
Yeah, but that's quite a popular game too. There's tournaments very popular around the world.
Surprisingly popular.
And I can see the appeal. I'm not the gamer for that genre, but I can see the appeal of having you. It's like Sims, right? Playing with Sims. It's just a different theme.
I see Martin says he wants a Flight Sim Battle Royale.
Now you're talking. Now there's an idea. So you have to down other planes by just flying into them. Or unless you have proper fighter jets, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that could be interesting, like a battle add-on pack.
Yeah. There's Combat Flight Sim, which I've never played, but...
That's an old title, man.
Old. Very old. Very old, yeah. Also a Microsoft title, if I recall correctly. I am conscious that we're an hour into this podcast already, so maybe we should consider wrapping it, although we have so much else to talk about.
Yeah, let's go for it.
We might have to do another one, Rafa.
The final show, part two. Part three. Indeed. And part four.
Part 633.
Oh, no, that's just the name of the show, the final show.
Yes. Episode 272 goes on forever. What else have we jotted down a few things on the list here. We spoke about Ndebeni Abrams, PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Do we have anything to say about that yet? It's a bit early.
A bit early. I mean, yeah, I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing, definitely. But I've kind of moved away. I'm more PC and mobile now, you know? Like, I haven't played my Xbox for a while, so I wouldn't buy a new one, or I wouldn't buy a new console. It'll be interesting to see what are they bringing to it.
Yeah, the Xbox looks quite interesting this time around. It doesn't look like a console. It looks like a mini PC. There's no doubt these are going to be fantastic consoles. But again, like the last generation of consoles, it'll be down to who has the best games.
Yeah. Look, I've always been an Xbox player, right? I've never been a PlayStation owner, fan. You're normally on one of the two camps, right? I've just enjoyed the Xbox titles more.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we wrap it? We had cable breaks to talk about. We had emergency spectrum for operators to talk about. But we are an hour in, so maybe we should wrap up this final episode of Talk Central.
If there's enough public outrage, we can maybe do another final.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe we should just do it on an ad hoc basis, Rehat, when time permits.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Doing the show now is making me want to do them more. But
do them more, yeah. Exactly. It's like, what are we doing?
Oh man, this is good. Yeah,
but maybe we should do that rather than saying this is the final ever episode.
Let's do another one during lockdown again. I mean, we've got some time now. Let's plan another one for lockdown, and then let's see from there.
Okay, let's do one more. But I'm happy to if we just say we'll do it once a quarter or when the fancy takes us.
Okay, happy with it.
I think that sounds good. But I'm definitely in for another podcast. And I think Martin in the chat room is too. See, Glenn has joined us. How's it, Glenn? He says only tuned in now, so would have to listen to the podcast as well. He says, glad you're back, even if it is the last one. But Glenn, it doesn't look like it is the last one. We're going to stretch this out. Which will be fun. Martin says, don't go. Martin, it must be your bedtime. It's late in Australia. Mornay says, what does that final mean? Missed that in the beginning. Martin, Mornay, it means the final episode of Talk Central ever. We're probably going to do another one now. So stick around. Subscribe to us on YouTube in the interim, youtube.com/TechCentral, or find the podcast on techcentral.co.za, or just keep an eye on our social media handles. We're at Tech Central on Twitter. Rehat is at Rehat on Twitter, and I'm at McLeodD, McLeodD. And Rehat is spelt with a T at the end, Rehat DT at the end. And that's our show. Was meant to be our final show ever, but we might see you guys again next week or the week after, depending how long this lockdown goes on for. From Rehat and myself, any closing words, Rehat, before we sign off?
No, just game more, people. We've got good time now to play games. Let's have fun.
Sounds good. And catch up on some shows. I'm definitely going to finish Picard. I'm a big Star Trek fan. I love the Star Trek generation, so I will finish it.
After watching Picard, I actually went back to some of the old Star Trek series on Netflix. Mm. And they're actually quite good. They're dated, but they're not bad. I mean,
I was watching TNG. I was watching TNG again on Netflix. It was a really good show.
Yeah.
Anything that bugs me is that 4x3 format.
Yeah.
It's like, did we really watch TV in that strange square format?
That's crazy. That's it's insane.
Yeah.
Look where we are now.
Yeah.
Broadcasting indeed. In 1080p.
Yeah. I think actually we're in 720.
720p, yeah.
I think
so. But we're capturing 4K, technically speaking, if we're recording.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks everyone for joining us in the chat room. We'll get this edited up and make the usual audio and video versions of the podcast available on YouTube and through Iono and through all the usual Tech Central podcast platforms like Spotify and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Pocket Casts and just about everything else.
TikTok.
No, we're not on TikTok yet.
Oh, man.
No, I think we'd have to do funny dances, Rehat, and cut our videos.
That's all I wanted to see, Duncan. I'll choose the music, you do the dance. How's that?
It is technically the final episode, so you actually want to see this.
No, please. Let's not ruin any potential chance of coming back.
That's true. We're going to break the internet if I do that. Thanks, everyone. Until next time. It looks like there will be a next time. Stay safe and stay at home. Cheers, guys.
Ciao, ciao.